In this lecture, you will cover prohibited goods, restricted goods, and penalties. First, we will have a look at goods which are prohibited. Certain goods that arrive in the UK are prohibited. This means that the importation of these goods is not allowed. This could be for security reasons, in the interests of public health, or perhaps to protect EU industry. To find out if the goods you are intending to import are prohibited, you can look in the tariff, or consult various government departments, such as the Home Office or Health and Safety Executive, as well as consulting legislation. For example, the Dealing in Cultural Objects Offences Act of 2003 has made it a criminal offence to import cultural objects, for example, an archaeological piece. So imagine that you produced heroin overseas, and you wanted to import it into the UK. Heroin is a prohibited product, which means that you are not allowed to import it. What could happen if we did try and import this drug? Well, customs have wide-ranging powers. For instance, they could seize the goods. You can read this in sections 49 and 139 of CEMA. You are also likely to be prosecuted. Prosecution provisions are found in section 50, subsection 1, brackets B, of CEMA. Prosecution under this section would involve you being arrested. If you look at section 50, it says what penalties apply to the import of prohibited goods. If you are tried in the magistrate's court, then you are liable to a fine of the prescribed sum, which is £5,000 or 3 times the value of the goods, whichever is the higher. You could also face 6 months in prison. Offences that are heard in the Crown Court could result in an unlimited fine or 7 years in prison. In both cases, you may face a fine and prison. However, if you read further on down, as heroin is a Class A drug, stiffer penalties apply. You can find these in Schedule 1 of CEMA. For importing this drug, you could get life imprisonment. So, what are restricted goods? Well, restricted means that the importation of these products may be allowed subject to satisfying certain conditions. For instance, if you want to import some textile products, this might only be allowed if an import license is obtained and presented with the goods at the time of import. In addition, there may be a tariff quota which prohibits imports of these products above certain limits. You'll learn more about import licensing and tariff quotas in later lectures. These types of restrictions are detailed in the tariff. There are a number of other restrictions that can apply to imports. For example, the import of endangered species might be restricted. The regulatory body in the UK is DEFRA, which stands for the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. They can advise on any conditions that must be satisfied before you can import the endangered species. Restricted goods do not just apply to importations. For instance, imagine that you manufacture weapons. The export of these would need to be closely regulated. In this circumstance, we might need to apply for an export license. These are just a few illustrations of the types of goods that are restricted. You will learn about further restrictions as we go through other lectures. What would happen to us if we import goods that are restricted without the required authority? Well, the same offences that we saw for importing prohibited goods also apply here. As a quick reminder, have a look at sections 49, 50, and 139 of CEMA. So, we have taken a look at prohibitions and restrictions, but what other penalties could customs impose on us if we don't comply with the law? There are a number of criminal penalties detailed in CEMA. We're only going to go through some of them. Use your contents page of CEMA after you've played this lecture to see what other penalties there are. We will also look at the civil penalty regime introduced in the Finance Act 2003. The first one that we're going to look at is in section 167, brackets 1. Imagine you import your goods and complete your import entry C88. However, you do it wrong, and what's more, you knew that you were filling it in incorrectly. You could be guilty of an offence under this section. This applies where someone knowingly or recklessly makes or signs a document that is untrue in a material particular. So, what have we done wrong? Well, you might have put the wrong commodity code down for the goods. and therefore have paid too little duty. Or perhaps you've put the wrong CPC code on the C88. Remember, we mentioned the CPC code in the first lecture. It tells customs the procedure that the goods are going to, for example, free circulation, where you pay the duties and import VAT at the time of import. Imagine then that you pretended that your goods were going to a duty suspension regime, so you haven't paid duty when you should have done. In these circumstances, you could face a penalty. We'll talk more about these duty suspension regimes in later lectures. Firstly, the goods could be seized by customs. You could also be arrested, and if your case is heard in the magistrate's court, then you could be fined up to the prescribed sum, go to prison for 6 months, or face a fine and prison. The prescribed sum is £5,000. Alternatively, if your case is heard in the Crown Court, you could face an unlimited fine, up to 2 years in prison, or both. Continuing with our penalties, the next penalty can be found in subsection 3 of section 167. We'll take the same type of scenario as for the previous slide. This penalty applies where someone makes or signs a document which is untrue in a material particular, but doesn't do it knowingly or recklessly. This means, in essence, that the person has innocently made a mistake. For instance, perhaps we have been advised by someone of the commodity code to use for our goods, but it turns out to be wrong. We did not knowingly or recklessly complete our document with the incorrect classification code. In this case, the offence is not as serious as the last one, which means that the goods are not liable to forfeiture, our offence will only be heard in the magistrate's court, and we will not be sent to prison. We could, however, receive a maximum fine of level 4 on the standard scale. These levels are given in section 17 of the Criminal Justice Act of 1991. And currently level 4 is £2,500. We'll stop there for a minute and let you have a go at a couple of examples. An offence under section 167, subsection 1 of CEMA could potentially result in what? A. A £5,000 fine only. B. A £5,000 fine or 6 months in prison. C. A £5,000 fine and 6 months in prison. Or D. 6 months in prison only. Example 2. An offence under section 167 subsection 3 of CEMA could result in a fine of what amount? A. £5,000. B. Level 4 on the standard scale. C. Level 5 on the standard scale. Or D. £1,000. Carrying on with our penalties, our next penalty can be found in section 170 of the same Act. So we have our importer, who has imported goods and they are prohibited. He then sells those goods onto his mate, and his mate knows that the goods are prohibited. This offence applies where someone knowingly acquires goods which are either prohibited or restricted or chargeable with duty that has not been paid and intends to defraud customs or intends to evade a prohibition or restriction. In this scenario, customs would have grounds to arrest the purchaser of the goods as well as the importer. The offence could be tried in the magistrate's court and result in a fine of the prescribed sum, £5,000, or if higher, 3 times the value of the goods. In addition, someone guilty of this offence could go to prison for 6 months. If their case is heard in the Crown Court, the fine is unlimited and they could go to prison for 7 years. This is provided that the goods are not subject to the Misuse of Drugs Act 1971, or other acts such as the Forgery and Counterfeiting Act of 1981. If they are, harsher sentences are imposed in those circumstances. The more severe the offence, then the harsher the potential penalty. So, can we do anything to mitigate the penalties? This is covered in section 152 of CEMA, but it is entirely at customs discretion. This section tells us that customs can compound an offence. Perhaps we'd rather pay a larger fine to customs to avoid going to prison. Customs can also restore our goods to us. Now, so far we have looked at criminal penalties. But what about civil penalties? Before Finance Act 2003, all the penalties for breaching customs legislation were criminal. as we've seen already. Finance Act 2003 introduced a civil penalty regime. The penalties are contained in sections 25 and 26. Let's take a look at them. Section 25 covers conduct that involves the dishonest evasion of duty. The penalty that could be imposed by customs is 100% of the duty evaded. The penalty will be imposed by a demand notice. If the person has also been convicted in a criminal court for the same offence, or penalised elsewhere, then the penalty under this section will not also apply. Penalties can be reduced, down to nil even, by customs or a tribunal by virtue of Section 29. In deciding on the reduction, customs or a tribunal are not allowed to take certain matters into account. These are the inability of the person to pay the penalty, the fact there was not a significant loss of duty, and the fact that the person has acted in good faith. Reductions, generally up to 75%, may be given where the person has cooperated and given full disclosure to customs. Penalties cannot be imposed beyond 3 years or 20 years in the case of fraud, and once a penalty has been demanded, the same offence cannot form the basis of a prosecution under criminal law. Penalty demand notices can be appealed against, and the normal time limits apply. We cover the detailed rules on appealing in a later lecture. Continuing with our civil penalties, the Finance Act of 2003 introduced a second new penalty in Section 26. This penalty applies when the person has not been dishonest or evaded any duty, but has nevertheless broken the law. One of the reasons that the penalty was introduced was to stop people getting criminal records for relatively minor offences. For example, if an importer failed to send in a return on time for removals from inward processing relief, he could be liable to criminal sanctions. The civil penalty regime stopped this from happening for these types of offences by allowing customs to issue civil fines instead. The customs contravention of a relevant rule regulations of 2003 provide the details of offences and schedule of penalties that could apply. The penalties under Section 26 of the Finance Act apply where a person has contravened a prescribed relevant rule or a relevant rule of a prescribed description. Thankfully, these phrases are defined further down the legislation in subsection 8, and to paraphrase, they apply if an importer has not complied with any duties, obligations, conditions or requirements that he should have done. For example, he might not have complied with duties imposed by SEMA or an obligation or condition imposed by the code, for instance, not keeping records relating to his imports. Where a person is liable under this section, the maximum penalty for his act or omission is £2,500, where it is a serious breach, or £1,000 in other cases. The £2,500 limit is detailed in Section 26, subsection 5. And the 2003 regulations detail when the £1,000 and £2,500 penalties will be imposed. These penalties can be reduced by customs, just like we saw for the civil evasion penalty on the previous slide, and the penalties won't apply if the person satisfies customs that he has a reasonable excuse, or where he is also liable to criminal penalties, or has already received a demand notice under Section 25. To finish this lecture, we will summarise the powers customs have in protecting the revenue. These powers are detailed in sections 157 to 166 of SEMA. Customs have the power to require any security, which may be by way of bond or guarantee, as they feel necessary. We've seen the use of guarantees with respect to duty deferment accounts. You will see, appearing on the screen, the relevant section of SEMA where you can find these powers. Customs also have the power to request that an importer provides them with such facilities as they need in order to carry out their duties. If an importer fails to adhere to this request, then they will be subject to a penalty not exceeding level 3 on the standard scale. Customs have the power to examine and take away goods. They have the power to take samples. They have the power to search premises at any time of the day or night. If customs are to search the premises at night, they need a constable with them. Customs have the power to search vehicles or vessels. If someone fails to adhere with this request, they could be liable to a penalty not exceeding level 3 on the standard scale. they have the power to search articles, and finally, they have the power to search persons. To check what you've learned so far, have a go at the following examples. The first one is a legislation hunt. Without playing back this lecture or using any notes, use your legislation to answer the following. You will see a table in front of you. In the left-hand column is a list of offences. In the right-hand column is a list of legislative references. What you have to do is match the offence to the correct place in the legislation where you will find it. To do this, you will see a box next to each offence. In each box, type the number that corresponds to the correct reference. For instance, if you think the answer to number 1, forfeiture of goods improperly imported, is section 68 of CIMA, then enter the number 5 in the box next to it.